मते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादि शतारिणे हरे कृष्णा. सो हाउ यू ऑल डूइंग? व्हाई साइलेंस? या यू सेड वंडरफुल, वेरी गुड. हम एंड व्हाट अबाउट अदर्स? Some are good, some are very good, some are silent still. You're happy?
And,
huh?
I finished the work for the day.
Okay. So reasons to be happy, huh? That's what the materialistic life is, you know, like you're forced to do things that you don't like to do. Whereas spiritual life is a continuous scope of doing what you want to do. That's how the society has become so degraded and people have become so miserable. As it is, material nature is a miserable place. And now people have become even more miserable. Why? Because people are forced to do things that they don't want to do. Like the purpose of our work, the reason we work should be for the sake of deriving joy. Right? But we are forced to do things that we don't like to do, that we don't want to do. And why one is forced? Because everyone is made to understand that making money is the goal of life. You have to make money, you have to earn money. If you can't earn money, then you are useless. And more money you can make, the more is your worth. Isn't it? Somebody who wants to be actually a painter, he likes to paint, he ends up becoming a draftsman. Why? Because if you become a painter, you won't earn money. But if you become a draftsman, then you can earn some money. Now he actually likes to paint, but what he is forced to do? Something that will fetch him some money. Somebody who likes to sing is forced to become a doctor. Because when you become a doctor, then you can make a lot of money. Somebody who likes to write, he loves to write, is forced to become an engineer. Because as a writer, as a singer, as an artist, how much will you make? That is a feeling. Our guardians are, you know, directing us in that way. You become an engineer, become a doctor, become a software engineer. Why? Because that will make more money. That will make money. So consider why you are living in this world. Why you are living? To earn money. And those who can't earn money, they're unemployed. They're considered to be unemployed. They can't be employed. Why? Because they don't have the skill that can be turned into money. But consider the society, the Vedic society. In the Vedic society, what was the consideration? Everybody has some occupation. Everybody has some occupation. Whether you are a Brahmin, whether you are a Kshatriya, whether you are a Vaishya, whether you are a Sudra, everybody had something to offer. Whether you are an intellect, whether you are a warrior, whether you are a businessman, or whether do you need the mic actually? Do you need the mic? Let's see without the mic. How do you... Can everybody hear me? Much better. Back to nature.
So, in the Vedic society, everyone had some occupation, some family. Everyone had some productivity. Everyone had something to offer to the society. Like everybody had something to offer. Whether you are an intellect, whether you are an intellectual, he went his way. What does an intellectual want to do? He wants to be absorbed in probing into things, thinking about various profound subjects. And a warrior, what is the occupation of a warrior? Fight. Just fight? No. Yeah. Give protection and establish law and order. Otherwise, what's the difference between a kshatriya and a bandit? What is the difference between a kshatriya and a bandit? The kshatriya, he gives protection. Enemies may attack the country, okay, here he is, to protect his country. And internally you would see that the law and order is maintained. Otherwise, there will be crisis and calamity. There will be disturbance. So, that was his response. Give the protection both externally, from external attack, and internally by maintaining the order. Then a Vaishya, his business is to cater to the needs of the society. The society needs food grains, society needs clothes, society needs various luxury items. Objects of comfort. So they would go get those items, cater to the society, provide, give it to, bring it to the society, and in return you take money. Isn't that what business is? Catering to the demand of the society, and by doing that you make a profit. But nowadays, anyway, and then you see, these three classes of people, they were independent. They would not depend upon somebody for their occupation and engagement. Like you think, who does he need? Does he need somebody to employ him to think? Does a thinker need someone to employ him to think? Does a warrior need somebody to employ him to fight? Does a businessman need somebody to employ him to run the business? No, these three classes are completely independent. You want to say something?
It's just a question of batteries and
okay.
And we also can record.
Any better?
Yes.
So this is Ajukta Vairagya. So, and those who cannot be independently engaged, they have to be engaged by somebody else. These are three higher classes of people who employ or engage the workers, the working class. So in that society, is there any room for unemployment? Anyone can be unemployed in that society? No. Everybody is employed. Everybody is engaged in contributing something to the society. But look what has happened to the human society now. Because everything is revolving around money. Like, it has come down to employment. Like, say, for example, now the brahmanas, you know, who did not actually depend upon anybody's patronage or mercy, they can't survive, actually. In today's world, everything has become so complex that you can't really live in. Like the brahmanas would go to the bank of a river in the middle of a forest and create their ashram and live there. How many people are prepared to do that in this age? We have become so weak that we can't do things like that. Or our nature has changed so much that we can't live like that. Actually, what has happened is, in the age of Kali, everyone has become a sudra. Almost everyone has become a sudra. Like, everyone is looking for employment. What does employment mean? Somebody will employ him, engage him. In exchange of what? Why is he being engaged? Because he'll get some money. Right? And why he's paying money? Why does somebody employ somebody? Because he is going to make profit out of it. Right? Or are these companies engaging or employing people for charity? As a charity, they are employing people? No. They are employing them to make their money. They'll employ somebody, pay him, say, $5,000, right? But by paying him $5,000, how much he's making? $25,000. Now, the moment, you know, he can't make that $25,000, you know, he'll retrench him. That is how merciful he is. And in this society, it has come down to practically only two classes: the employer and the employed. And who are the employers? The employers are the Vaishyas, the business community. And business, again, is not the catering to the needs of the society. What has today's business become? Creating the artificial need and catering to that demand. They are always creating some sort of artificial need. Like, now look at the cell phones, right? You use a cell phone for a few months and then you see a new model has come out. Then you're made to think that you have to get it. Otherwise your life is meaningless. The computers, every 1 year you have to change your computer, otherwise it's obsolete, backdated. Cars, so why they're doing that? So that they can continue with their production and make their profit. They're creating an artificial demand, and they are, to cope up with the demand, they are just manufacturing things and making people buy them. In order to make them buy, they have a very effective modes of advertisements, publicity, and this is what is going on. So what this world is revolving around? Money. Money has become the goal. Everyone is living for money. Everyone is working from morning till night so hard just to make money. And if you can't make money, you can't survive. That's what has this world has degenerated to. Now, should we conform with this? Should we make compromise with this world? Or should we try to change it? Is this a perfect world? The world that has become today? The way the world is today? Is it the ideal human society? It's not. So what should we do? Carry on with the way things are going? Or do we need to make a change? We have to bring about a change. How to bring about a change? Through a revolution? Yes, revolution. What's the meaning of revolution? The wheel is moving in this way, now we have to make it go in the other way. It's going in the wrong direction, so what do we have to do? Make it go the right in the right direction. Right? But of course, revolutions can be of different types. Generally, when we talk about revolution, people think that it must be a violent, bloody revolution. No. There can be cultural revolution, spiritual revolution, revolution of consciousness. And that's the revolution that we are opting for. And that's the real revolution. And that's the kind of revolution this world needs. It has seen enough political revolution, but it didn't amount to anything. It didn't benefit the world by any chance. It may have created some improvement in an extremely critical situation, but that's not the ultimate solution. Winston Churchill once commented that we have seen that democracy doesn't work. But yet, that's the best we have. Although we know that it's not going to benefit the society, but that's the best we have. Why? Because when a king becomes a tyrant, then the mass will suffer. Therefore, strip the kings of their power. Bring the power in the hands of the people. Let the people elect. So, how bad the political leaders elected out of mass, the support of the mass, at least is better than the worst. Okay, so today's topic is Ishopanishad. So I'll take a book. Now let's see what Ishopanishad has to say. Should we start from the invocation? The first mantra? Yes.
Introduction also?
I see. Okay. Okay, maybe what I'll do is, I'll go straight to the second mantra. The first verse, first text one, Because, let us see what Ishopanishad has to say about how the society should be. Mantra 1, probably you didn't read. Did you all read? Okay, I will just read it. Let's do it together. Ishavashyam idam sarvam.
Ishavashyam idam sarvam.
Yatkincha jagatyan jagat.
Yatkincha jagatyan jagat.
Tena taktena punjitha.
Tena taktena punjitha.
Magridha kashvashiddhana.
Magridha kashvashiddhana.
Isha means by the Lord. Ishvara, are you familiar with the expression? Ishvara means the Supreme Controller. Now, Isha means by Ishvara, by the Supreme Lord, Supreme Controller. Avasham, controlled. So everything is being controlled by the Supreme Personality of God. Ishavasham idam sarvam. Idam sarvam means all these. All the idam means this and sarvam means all. So all these means all, everything in this material nature is being controlled by idam sarvam, ishavasham, idam sarvam, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And jatkincha, whatever, jagatan, within the universe, jagat, all that is animate or inanimate. Whatever is within this universe, animate or inanimate, moving or non-moving, inert or living, everything is being controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And tena, by him, taktena, set apart kota. Tena, by him, taktena, by him a kota has been assigned. Bhunjitha, you should accept. Tena, taktena, bhunjitha. Whatever he has given, whatever he has assigned, whatever kota he has given, we should just accept that. Like, for example, an elephant's quota and an ant's quota, is it the same? No. According to their need, they have different quota, and that quota has been set aside by the Lord. Ma gridha. Ma means do not. Gridha means endeavor to gain. Kashvashid, of anyone else. Dhanam, wealth. So, do not ever greed upon others' wealth or others' possession. So, translation, everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. Please repeat after me. Everything animate or inanimate,
everything animate or inanimate,
that is within the universe, is controlled and owned,
by the Lord.
One should therefore,
accept only those things,
necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota.
Which are set aside as his quota.
And one should not accept.
And one should not accept.
Other things. Knowing well to whom they belong.
Knowing well to whom they belong.
So, is it clear, the meaning of this verse? Everything belongs to the Lord, and the Lord is controlling everything, living and non-living. Everything in the universe belongs to the Lord, and He is controlling them all. And He has given the quota, or He is providing for everyone according to His need. Right? Like, we can put it that way, that He is providing for everybody according to His need. Therefore, be satisfied when your need is fulfilled. If you need 4 chapatis, and if you have these 4 chapatis, be satisfied that you got it every day. And do not ever greed upon things that belong to others. Especially when you consider, we recognize the fact that everything belongs to the Lord. So, we should not greed upon something that doesn't belong to us. And whatever we need, we can see that how it is being catered, how it is being provided. Now see the contrast between what has happened to the world today, and the instruction that is given in Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad is saying that everything belongs to Krishna, and Krishna is providing for you. So be satisfied what He is giving you. Like, what is the problem in today's world? We are not thinking whether our needs have been fulfilled. We are rather thinking why He has so much and I do not have that much. Right? Why Bill Gates has so much money? Why not me? Right? And as a result of that, no one is content. Like, if we always think how much we didn't get, how much I didn't get, then how will I feel? Will I feel happy? But on the other hand, if we consider, so much I got, then how will I feel? Today I got my breakfast, today I got my lunch, dinner is waiting but I don't feel hungry at night. Right? And then throughout the day I had so much water, I had so much oxygen. There's no dearth of all the things that I really needed. It's so wonderful. And how did I get all this supplied? Because Krishna made all the arrangements. So Krishna is so wonderful. So let me remain eternally grateful to Him. And with a sincere heart, pray to Krishna. Krishna, you have been so kind to me. I'm eternally grateful to you for that. And now please let me express my gratitude towards you in some way. Now if we develop this attitude, how will we feel internally? So you see, happiness is actually within our grip. To make ourselves happy is within the reach of ourselves, within a very, very easy reach of ourselves. But instead what we are doing, we are not thinking, we are not considering, we are not assessing how much we have. We are simply thinking how much we do not have. You know the expression, the difference between an optimist and a pessimist? The optimist says that the glass is half full, and a pessimist says that the glass is half empty. Right? The same thing from two different perspectives will appear in two different ways. Now, what should an intelligent person do? Should he become a pessimist and just keep on brooding over what he didn't get? And, you know, sort of make his heart shrink and become totally miserable? Or should he let his heart expand with an incredible joy that, well, I have got so much. And so much more is there for me to receive because I have a father who owns everything. Won't it be a wonderful feeling to just realize that? Not just to think that way, but to realize that this is the reality. We all have a father who owns everything. He is controlling everything, and we are his children. And who is that personality who owns everything? What's his status? He's the King of Kings. Right? And we are not only princes and princesses. We are the children of the King of Kings, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why should we ever worry about anything? Why should we just go begging for a job to get a few thousand dollars a month? What is a few thousand dollars? Can these thousands of dollars buy a breath of fresh air? At the time of death, with all the money in this world, can we buy another breath of oxygen? So that is how valuable the gift of the Lord is. What is money? And since we are the children of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Proprietor, in his kingdom, whatever is there, yes, is for our use. Right? Okay, people are manufacturing cars. Yeah, we'll use them because it belongs to our father. Right? There are aircrafts. There are spaceships. Yes, we will use them, all in the service of the Lord. Excepting just four things. Meat, intoxicants, immoral objects of sense gratification, and deception, cheating. These four things we should give up. But besides that, everything for us to utilize in the service of the Lord. Yes, some people are making, my father made the arrangements that people are making these beautiful cars. Yes, we'll use them because it belongs to our father. So in his service, we'll use them. Just as we are using the microphone. Who does it belong to? Does it belong to Sennheiser? No, it belongs to Krishna. Of course, when Sennheiser makes it, and he says, pay the price, he says, okay, fine. You're begging, so we give you some. So we we maintain the law and order. We observe the law and order. Because we don't cheat. We pay the price. Yeah, if you claim that you made it, fine. And if the government has recognized that, the government gave you the permission to manufacture and sell, so yes, we will buy. We'll buy. But we'll use it in the service of the Lord. So all the facilities that are available, we'll use the facilities for the sake of spreading the glory of our Father. Now see, two different worlds. Which world do you want to belong to? The worlds of the cheaters and the cheated? Who is pretending that he is actually doing you a great favor, but actually he has enslaved you just by paying a few dollars a month? Do you want to conform to that cheating process, or you want to join your Father's enterprise, who is the supreme proprietor? Anyway, I know what's going on in your mind. So that is the first verse of Isha Upanishad. There are 108 Upanishads, 108 principal Upanishads. Of them, Isha Upanishad is one of the topmost. And you know which one is the crest jewel of all the Upanishads? Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandana Batsa Partha Sudhir Bhokta Dugdhang Gita Mritang Mahat. All the cows have been compared to all the Upanishads. All the Upanishads have been compared to a cow. Sarva Upanishado Gavo. And what's the purpose of the cow? Why does one keep a cow? To get the milk. Now, this particular cow, who milked this cow? Gopala Nandana, Krishna. Gopal Krishna milked that cow. And the cow actually gives milk. Why does the cow give milk? The cow gives milk for the sake of the calf. Gives milk for the sake of the calf. So, Batsya, and who is that calf in this case? Arjuna. And what is the milk? The nectar of Bhagavad Gita. So, so that is the best of all Upanishads. And you will see that the instructions of Isha Upanishad and instructions of Bhagavad Gita is actually the same. Essence of the instructions is the same. In Bhagavad Gita, of course, Bhagavad Gita is more elaborate and more profound, whereas Isha Upanishad is more, it doesn't go to such elaborate, it is more precise, you can say. The essential teachings have been presented in Isha Upanishad. But the bottom line is that Isha Upanishad, you'll find, is actually leading to the same point. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Proprietor. And He is the Supreme Controller. Surrender unto Him. Isn't that the final instruction of Bhagavad Gita? Surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is the Supreme Proprietor and Supreme Controller. So I'll it's quite a long introduction actually. So Maybe I'll leave the introduction for some other day. And does anybody have any question?
You said like sometimes people look at Bill Gates and he has got so much of money. One question comes to mind is, has he been given more than like the quota because he's only
Yeah. The thing is, as I said, that there are two worlds. The way the world is, this is the world of cheaters and cheated. Right? Cheating, what is cheating? When things are done disregarding the consideration of law. Right? So the real law has been given by the Lord. And he appoints the individuals who are in charge of different departments. They're the demigods. They're the kings. The kings were given the responsibility to take care of all the living entities in certain part of land. It was the king's responsibility. This is your kingdom, and everybody in the kingdom is your responsibility. And the king, as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, used to rule the kingdom. Right? But due to the age of Kali, that system has been abandoned. That system has been totally disregarded. It's finished. And a new system has been created. Right? And that system is for the people, by the people, and of the people. And the God has been sent to exile. So that is the society that we are living in. Everything is for the people, by the people, and of the people. Right? And God is dead. Reality is people. Right? And in that system, they made, they set up a culture that the more you can extract within the network, within the framework of the legal structure, the more successful you are. And some people, like Bill Gates, he's thinking, okay, there are so many billions of people in this world, 10 billion people. If I can cheat everyone of $10, how much money I'm making? So that is the state of affairs. But the situation can be improved. Like, okay, Bill Gates, fine, you have made so much. Now recognize that it belongs to Krishna. And receive it as Krishna's mercy that Krishna gave you. Now if you recognize that it belongs to Krishna and Krishna gave it to you, then recognize that you are only a custodian, you are not a proprietor. Now as a custodian, you utilize this wealth for the service of the Lord. Now Bill Gates may not do that, but you can do that. Isn't it? You may not have, $64 billion, right? But you can, whatever you have, you can utilize that in the service of the Lord. And when I see you doing it, then I say, wow, let me also do it. Then he thinks, let me also do it. And in this way, people will be motivated to do the right thing. So ultimate consideration is to remind people of their mistakes and inspire them, guide them to do the right thing. Any other question? Yes.
Yeah, Maharaj, everything belongs to Krishna, and all these sinful activities are taking place. These men are doing some, making bombs and missiles to destruct and use it for the harm effect of the countries. So why Krishna didn't stop these all sinful activities which is taking place?
Yeah. Good question. To understand that point, the first thing that we have to understand is that this is one reality, this is one nature where Krishna is not directly involved. Krishna just set this nature with the mode and karmic reactions, with the principle of, with the mechanism of guna and karma. There are three modes, and every individual is allowed to act independently. Right? And as he is acting, accordingly he is generating the reactions. So the modes are actually causing, you know, that reactions. You act in a certain mode, the reaction will be in a certain way. You act in some other mode, the reaction will be in some other way. So in this way, everyone is actually, now we are set free. Okay, you act, and you are independent, you can do whatever you want, and you are acting accordingly, and then you are becoming subjected to the reactions of the actions. Right? So somebody acts in a certain way, right? And as a result of that, he ends up becoming a terrorist. He makes the bombs and he makes all the arrangements to destroy. And some other people acts in a certain way that they become subject to destruction. Right? So Krishna is not interfering. We are creating our own karma. Right? Our reactions are becoming, and we are just, you know, becoming subject to the reactions of our actions. But there is another situation here, like this game is going on, guna karma game, right? And everyone is, you know, getting this illusory concept of suffering and enjoyment. But in that, there is one factor. That factor is that you surrender to Krishna and he'll be out of the game, right? You'll transcend the... The game, this game is called the game of suffering, right? And in that game of suffering, the secret is that anyone who says, Krishna, I surrender, immediately is, you know, freed from the suffering condition. So this is what this material nature is like.
Given that we are not free from greed, how do we ascertain what is our quota?
Given that you are not free from greed, the basic mistake is made right over there. You know, greed, that's why he's saying that get rid of the greed.
So do we have to wait to get free from greed?
No, recognize what is your need.
How do we recognize that if we're influenced by greed?
Well, surrender to a devotee, read Prabhupada's books, and you'll find out. On your own, you won't be able to rectify your defect. And when you read Prabhupada's books, just like we're discussing today, what do you get to know? Everything belongs to Krishna, and Krishna is taking care of us. Krishna is taking care of us in the most wonderful way. Now let's think, does he really do that? Okay, let's think back. So many years I've been here, and not a single day I starved. There was everything supplied to me in abundance. Who did that? Who made this arrangement? Krishna made that arrangement. So if Krishna did it for last so many years, won't he do it for next so many years? So why should I worry about my upkeep. Let's depend upon Krishna and serve him. So that is how we get rid of the greed. Until and unless we give up our unless and until we can get rid of our greedy tendency, we'll never be able to free ourselves from this bondage of material nature, the bondage of this illusory nature. Yes.
Maharaj, as an offshoot of that question, if we have loans and debts to repay and things that we need to buy, etc., etc., how do we say we need to allocate this much for Krishna service and this much for other duties?
Yeah. It said that when one surrenders unto Krishna, then all the debts that he has, everybody has lots of debts. Devarshi, Bhutapta, Nrinam, Pitrinam. We have our debts to the demigods, devas. We have debts to the rishis, our forefathers, rishis, the sages. Nrinam, we have our debt to the king. We have debt to our Pitrinam, forefathers. But all these debts, along with all our material debts that we have incurred in our stay in this planet, is immediately absolved as soon as one surrenders unto Krishna. You surrender unto Krishna, Krishna says, okay, all your debts, I'll take care of them, you don't worry. Okay, you surrender to Krishna, you join Hare Krishna movement, members. You don't have to worry about your debts anymore. And people also will accept. You tell them, look, I became a Hare Krishna. I'm sorry. You are... Just like, you know, there are two ways, like in the materially what they do, in the materialistic situation what they do is people go bankrupt. Whereas in Krishna consciousness we don't go bankrupt. We surrender. Right? And if we can pay the debt, you know, if we have the means to do that, we do that, because we don't want to cheat anybody. But if we don't have the means to pay, then we say, I'm sorry. I decided to serve Krishna, and from now on I'm not getting any salary. Krishna is just going to maintain me. But one thing I can assure you, that all the debts that you have, Krishna has taken it, and He'll pay you in the next life, you know, multiplied by many, many folds. Any other question? Yeah.
Well, just to add on to what Prabhu said before, like with the karma works, like one person is a terrorist or is making lies, is killing so many other people, he is getting sinful actions for that. But what about the other innocent people who, as human life is very, it's very hard to get a human life, they are not getting a chance, maybe they can elevate themselves, but they are just dying because of some other person?
Well, first of all, no one is actually innocent. In this nature, nothing happens by chance or by accident. Behind every happening, there is a cause. If someone is dying out of a bomb blast, we have to understand that it's the accumulation of his karma that brought him to this point. Right? So it's due to his own karma. Like, I'm considering, you know, is it so difficult to understand? So many cows are being slaughtered, so many babies are being aborted, right? And you feel that, and you think that there won't be any karmic reaction. The people, those who are indulging in those sinful activities, they're innocent. They're not innocent. Maybe they're doing it without knowing, and that's why ISKCON movement is here, to educate people, to remind people that why things are happening in a certain way, and how to undo that.
What about small children?
What did he do in his previous life? Any idea? That's it. In this life only you are seeing that he is a small child. But he had been here before. And in his previous life or lives, he must have done something that is causing him to die. It may be good action or it may be bad action. We can't really ascertain that unless you go to a platform where you can see past, present and future simultaneously. Then only you'll be able to understand. And our scriptures actually are giving us that insight. Just consider, just see one action. There's a king called Shantanu. He had a queen with whom he had the agreement that he'll never prevent her from doing something that she wanted to do. And the first child is born. Right after the birth, the mother takes the child and throws the child in the river. Right? Now this is just the apparent observation. Now let's go back. The 8 Vashus stole the cow of Vashishtha, Surabhi, Nandini. And Vashishtha cursed them that in spite of being a demigod, you have acted in this heinous way. So you're not fit to remain in the heavenly planet. You go down to the earth planet and be born as human beings. Now, as soon as they got to know, they just came running to him and says, please, please forgive us. Then Vashishtha says, okay, I'll forgive you. But since the word has come out of my mouth, it's not going to go in vain. You have to take birth. But if Ganga becomes your mother, then right after your birth, you'll be delivered. So then they approached Ganga, convinced her. Ganga came down to be the mother. She became the wife of Shantanu, King Shantanu. Now, when you see that Ganga is taking the baby and dropping the water of Ganges, does it make sense? Right? So, when we see things, you know, from a broader perspective, like our thing is that we see only the present. We don't have any knowledge about the past or the foresight about the future. So that's why we come to this conclusion, this child, just newborn, why did he have to die? But the thing is, this is not the only life. We had been here before and we will continue to be here after. Now whatever we have done in the past, accordingly we are getting the reactions now. Take some water, Lalita. Do you have some water there? Okay. Got cold or what? Oh. So, okay, any other question? Yes.
How do we see in the society, we are talking about quota in terms of, in the society commonly, people what they call it as smart, like not, you know, I don't say cheating, but rather smart, where you can,
it's accepted. Cheating is accepted, and that has got a finer term called smartness. Smartness.
So, as devotees, should we also be like them, or should we become like more highly knowledgeable?
we should be honest. And that's the best way to outsmart them. Right? Like, we should make them understand that, look, what are you going to gain out of it? You may be making so much money by cheating so many other people. But look at yourself. You can't sleep at night, you can't digest your food. You know, like your whole stomach has become full of ulcer, right? Your brain has become like a jelly, right? So, why lead a life like this? And recognize that you are a servant of Krishna and become engaged in serving Him and experience the joy. Come to the Hare Krishna temple and chant Hare Krishna and dance in ecstasy. And then you'll go home, you'll have such a wonderful sleep, and at night you'll dream of the devotees and Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. you'll be transported to another reality, the spiritual reality. Come and experience the joy of spiritual life, real life. Yes.
Maharaj, I have a 3 months old son. So I have a new parent, like education is backwarding, like all you have to do is for his future, like that.
Yeah.
Invest some money in shares on his name or some money in the bank, like that.
Yeah.
But what's your suggestion?
Well, I'm not a financial advisor.
I mean, like, so many people come and tell you, do this, but ultimately, like, and then, like, somebody is saying, like, you should get him ready for year 12, year 15, by the time the fees will be $20,000, $30,000, what should be my planning for his future, real?
Well, be practical. Be practical. I'll give you an example. You saw the Ujjain video yesterday? Okay. Anyway, I'm developing a project in Ujjain. And, some families are moving in. Some families are moving in there. Like, there's one family that moved in from Surat. They were the family of four, husband, wife, and two daughters. And, he was running quite a successful business, cloth business, and wholesaling, fabrics. But he gave up. He handed the business over to his brothers. They were also involved, and he pulled out and he moved into Ujjain. Now, you see, his daughter, elder daughter, is very bright girl, very bright girl. She was actually, the best in the class, in a very good school. But in Ujjain, there are schools, but they were not really of that quality. And so recently, he told me that this is, he feels that, she is not really getting the field to develop herself properly. His opportunities are not there, she's such a bright girl. So I told him, okay, put her in a boarding school, girls' school, let her go through the school. And he did that. He put her in, there was a few considerations, but finally they opted for the Birla girls' school in Pilani, which is a very good school, one of the best girls' boarding schools in India. The few considerations were the Mayo College in Ajmer, Wilhelms in Dehradun. There's another school in Kota. But, you know, eventually he opted for this one, Pilani. Let's be practical. You know, we have to consider their future also. Like, she should not say that my father became a Hare Krishna and my future was short. Right? No, give her the opportunities. You know, if she can excel, let her excel. And train her, teach her how to do it for Krishna. And then the world will say, yes, she is a Krishna devotee. So I'll advise, don't neglect the, you know, upbringing, proper upbringing of your children. Give them the best. Krishna is the best, Krishna's devotees are the best, and Krishna's devotees' children should get the best. Yeah.
Does karma apply to Vedic world?
Vedic world means?
Vedic world.
No. When you Vedic world, it applies, but depends what kind of Vedic world. The Vedic world also has different stages. The karmic Vedic world, then Vedic world of austerity and penance, and the Vedic world of surrender to Krishna. So in the karmic world, Vedic karmic world, one is taught how to act, how to execute his karma so that he will enjoy. And the Vedic world of austerity and penance is that this material nature is a place of suffering. No matter how nicely you execute your karma, and you will end up suffering. So let's try to get out of this material nature, so that then you become engaged in performing austerities and penances, right? To become free from the material bondage, or elevate yourself to a situation where these material karmic reactions won't really touch you. But then finally it comes to the world of surrender, Vedic world of surrender. And in that Vedic world of surrender, there is not an iota of karma. The karma cannot enter, the karmic reactions cannot enter there. In this respect, you can consider one example. The a soldier fighting on behalf of the king, he kills hundreds of enemies. When he comes back from the war, the king rewards him. But when, out of his own volition, he kills one person, the same king who rewarded him for killing hundreds of people punishes him. Why? When he acts on behalf of the king, he is free from reaction of his karma. Rather, he gets reward for that. But on his own, when he does something, then, and if that action is wrong, then the king will punish him. Therefore, what is the lesson? Do not act out of your own independent will. Surrender yourself to Krishna and act on his behalf for his pleasure. So, okay, Sohail?
Maharaj, you said in the beginning that in the Vedic culture, the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas were independent. But my understanding was that like the Brahmins depend on the Kshatriyas and the Shudras for the food they give, for the protection they give. So can you explain that point?
No, Brahmins don't depend upon anybody. Brahmin depending on a Shudra, he'll kill himself.
Like the Kshatriyas, they're protecting them, or they're providing them food. And
you see, Brahmanas are not really asking for anybody's protection. The Kshatriyas take it upon themselves as their responsibility. Because the if there is some disturbance, right, in the activities of the Brahmanas, then the Kshatriyas, because the Brahmanas are non-violent, they wouldn't get into a fight. Although they are very powerful, by chanting mantra they couldn't kill anybody. But they would not do that because they know that it will involve karmic reactions which may be harmful for them. Right? But a Kshatriya can do that. Therefore the Kshatriya would come and give that protection. Like for example, Ramchandra was taken by Vishwamitra to kill the demons who were causing disturbance in that, in their sacrifice. Taraka Rakshashi. So, but the Brahmin would not depend upon anybody. For their food, they won't go begging in that way. They may go begging, but that is because, because of their humble disposition. Right? And but, that would also depend upon, in what level one is. Like, for example, Chanaka Pandit, he was the king maker. He made Chandragupta the king. But still he would not live in the palace. He did not take any, any support from the king. And you know how he used to maintain himself? After harvesting the food that was left on the ground, while harvesting some grains, food grains, fall on the ground, he would go collect those grains and maintain himself from that. That's a Brahmana. The Brahmana could go begging from door to door, but then again the Brahmana would be very careful about from whom he is begging. Because if he begs from a wrong person, he'll get the sin. But then again, what he'll do, he'll offer it to Krishna and that will purify it. Food grain from all the sins. But generally, a Brahmana is independent. Kshatriya is independent. A Vaishya is independent. Independent means a Brahmana will never take up a job. So Chaturvedi, Mr. Chaturvedi, what he is doing, he is the clerk of Reliance Corporation, Reliance Group of Industries, clerk. And he's getting some money every month. Is he a Brahmin? No. By birth he may be Brahmin, but by action he's a Shudra. Okay.
Why he is Shudra then?
Why he is Shudra?
Yeah.
Because he has accepted employment. He has become a servant. Right. So, actually, when Prabhupada established the Gurukul in Vrindavan in 77, one day, a very big, very important person came to see Srila Prabhupada. Probably many of you know him. His name is Mr. Jayadayal Dalmia. The Dalmia Group of Industries are a very famous group of industries. And Jayadayal Dalmia is the head of that group, the father. Very nice man, very pious person. And he came with three of his daughters-in-law and their children. And little children, 7, 8, 9 years old. And Prabhupada was telling Mr. Dalmia to put his grandchildren in the Gurukul. And Prabhupada was telling them that, look, today's education system has become the education for the Sudras. They get educated for, with what purpose? To get a job. And to get a job means to become a sudra. So the whole education is geared towards making sudra. And study for 25 years, and at the end of the day, what do you get? You get a dignified slavery. And but Prabhupada pointed out that your children, your grandchildren don't need to take up a job. They need to become the leaders of the society. And this school, the Gurukul, is the school that I have set up to create the leaders of the society. They will have the right understanding and they will know how to guide people to the right goal of life. Who is a leader? A leader is a person who knows where to lead to. Can a blind man be a leader? Can a blind man lead us to any proper destination? No. A blind man will lead us to a ditch. And that's what is happening. If the leader doesn't know where to go, if the leader is blind, he can't see, where is he going to lead us? And isn't that what has happened to the society today? The society is in this condition because it doesn't have a leader. And ISKCON is here to create leaders. You all have come to ISKCON to become leaders. You all have come here to show the world what is the goal of life, what is the ultimate destination, and help them to move towards that destination. Isn't it? Isn't that why you all are here? And that is what this world needs, and that's what ISKCON is for. Lead the world. These blind people, you know, they may be eloquent speakers, these politicians and all these people. I mean, they're fabulous speakers, actually. I mean, they keep you spellbound, you know, like. But the thing is, they just blurt out words without meaning anything. Just words signifying nothing. So that is what they are doing. And the people are following them. But to where? Where are they following them? Where are they leading them to? But you all know where to lead them, don't you? Even though your involvement with ISKCON may not have been for that long, but you know where to lead them to. Therefore, become convinced about the goal, become convinced about the destination, and lead the world to that destination. And I tell you, the whole world will become grateful to you. So, I'll stop today, it's already 8:35. Thank you all very much. We'll meet again tomorrow evening and we'll sing some song. All these days I've just been talking and it's all dry session. Let's have some ecstatic sessions. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.
Gaurinath Bhakti Charu Maharaj ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Hare Krishna, tomorrow's session will be in the temple at 7 o'clock. What's your name today?
Name today?
Did it change?
No.
Whose son is he?
My son.
Yes, sir. Oh, then I really made him.
No. You're talking about the other
boy, yeah.
Gentleman.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Sorry. How are you? What's your name? Oh, yeah, now I remember. Hare Krishna, Samshundar. I thought you became friends during my last visit.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Please don't leave. We are serving Nirmal Prasadam. So,